Welcome back home to Tottenham Hotspur, available on all of your favorite podcast platforms. You can also interact with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and our Facebook page, along with our website and blog at Hotspur.com. There will also be a link tree in this episode description with all of those links, so please follow the show, all of the guys, and click subscribe to join the conversation and never miss a Hotspur. Thanks again for coming back home to Hotspur. It's been quite another busy week for Spurs, and we're here to share our thoughts on all things the week that was Tottenham. For context, we're recording this on Sunday, July 10th. It's a little after 9 p.m. Eastern time, so hopefully this starts your work week off right for you. I'm your host, Matt. You can find me on Twitter at MKCoys, and you can follow the show at Tottenham Pod. And I'm joined again in the virtual Podspur studio by Scott and Dustin. This is Scott's second cap on Podspur all time. Scott and I had the pleasure of talking that opening day win over City last season. That was a great episode. Scott had some great lines in there. The price of the brick just went up. You can follow Scott at COY Seminoles at Twitter. Come on, you Seminoles. I'm like that FSU guy. So, Scott, that's welcome right back. Thanks for joining the Podspur crew again. We're excited to have you on this season. How's everything going?
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I'm really excited. It's probably the most exciting summer I can remember. I've been following Spurs for almost 20 years. And, you know, some of the Pochettino years were exciting, but this feels very different. So we're looking forward to it. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, pleasure. You know, it was we did get one more in the door this week in Clement Lenglet and going official. So we'll talk about that in a bit. But before we do that, let's kick it to Bowling Green and my good friend, Dustin Ace Gentile. Dustin, what's up, my friend?
Oh, not much. Just got back on the road from just outside of Cincinnati. Saw the in-law, saw my nephew for the weekend. It was a good little trip, good little up and back. Had been there a little bit, so a lot of fun.
All right. So before we start with before we get into Clement Lenglet coming in on loan, let's talk about the content that the club's pushing out right now in Spurs play in particular. I know out of three of us, myself and Scott are subscribers. Dustin's, you know, chomping at the bit to get pieces of it. And we're doing our best to kind of get some stuff to him behind the scenes. But Scott, what have you made of the platform so far?
Well, I thought it was a good idea how they had the Antonio Conte 202 days piece kind of queued up and ready to push out, because that was really, really well done. And, you know, Spurs fans are hot for any Conte content. So that was, of course, brilliant from the club. And the documentary was great. I thought it was interesting how in the documentary itself, how they kind of queued up the beginning. Like, they're like, okay, how do we make this look good, but we start by sacking our manager, you know? Like, I thought that was really interesting. But it was really good. There's some good behind the scenes stuff in it. And as far as the match replays for the season, there's going to be some, I believe, some live content from inside the club during matches, as opposed to having to watch some, you know, our former Arsenal player comment on our matches in the US. There's going to be a bunch of stuff on there. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it was £45 for the year, which is not bad, especially considering how dodgy it is to try to find some of these friendlies in the preseason alone. So, and just for the replays, I mean, it's hard here in the US sometimes to catch some of these matches live, especially with kids and work and stuff. So Right. Personally, that's why I wanted to go ahead and get it.
No, I'm with you on that. And I loved 202 days, the Antonio Conte piece. I very much felt like it was almost a continuation of the Amazon. Like, it had that vibe to it. It had those transitions scenes to it. You know, very much club propaganda, but that's what we're here for. And that's what we want to see. Like you mentioned, we're hot for Antonio Conte. So, you know, I did love seeing that. I loved kind of seeing him and hearing him behind the scenes. I also watched The Lane, which was very good, all about White Hart Lane. Very cool to watch that and kind of get a deeper history of the club and things that happened there. I have the Lucas Moura piece queued up next. I'm also very excited about being able to watch the youth matches on there too. I know that's another feature to maybe get to see a little bit more of Alfie Devine and Dane Scarlett, who we will not be seeing on the preseason, but we'll talk about that list a little bit more as they have a longer break from there. Success at Euros with England's U19 team. So I think Spurs play is very good. Like you mentioned, over the course of the year, it's not that bad. I would have liked to have seen them come out with like a monthly subscription. Maybe more people could have gotten, you know, into it. The one gripe I have with it is the on-air play. Like, it does lag a lot. I guess that's kind of first world tech problems.
Right.
But, you know, I got to either set up my Chromebook or iPad and watch from there, get a little bit better. But I wish they did come out with like a dedicated, Roku or Amazon app.
In time, I'm sure it'll happen.
I think it's only going to grow. It is cool how you can access it from the Spurs app, via your phone or
Hey,
tablet or whatever it is.
if the We Are Tottenham TV guys can get their own Roku app, I'm pretty sure Spurs probably will get it too.
Right,
And that's not a shot at them. They do great work, but I'm just saying they have their own Roku app now. So just give it some time.
Well, you had to know that Levy wouldn't invest in that type of stuff until he saw what the revenue would be from the subscriptions. So
exactly,
I just want him to do the monthly thing. So Daniel Levy, if you find Tottenham Hotspur on wherever you get your podcast, listen to the guy from Bowling Green, Kentucky. Make it a monthly thing, and you'll get some people.
Well, maybe he loves his money up front, though.
That's true. He loves his money up front, but he does love deferring payments. So it's the other way around.
An excellent transition.
If the other way around, he would be deferring. Maybe we can get Stool Presidente David Portnoy on here and get him to advocate for that as well, who is now a newfound Tottenham fan based on watching the clip on the plane. Did you guys see it with
Eric Dier?
It started with Eric Dier talking about Matt Doherty's goatee.
That was hilarious.
He gives him a 7.6. They kick it to Fraser Foster, who gives him a -2.
-2. Yep.
And then Harry Kane goes, I know he's listening, so I'll give him a 5.5. So it's just cool. It's cool behind the scenes stuff. I like how they're wrapping it up.
The best part was Brian Hill. They're like, oh, Harry's like, oh, he's jet lagged.
Yeah, it is cool to see them, kind of in that element as well. One other piece, not Spurs play related, but social media related. I do love, if you're not following Richarlison on Twitter, give him a follow. He posts nonstop, and it's really cool to see. I think he's very much loving his time already at Tottenham, looking good.
I loved, in
the training sessions as well.
I loved the reception they got. They did the thing with Sonny when the team first got there. I'm like, that was the 10-minute long video of like them, like when they landed and all that. Like, that was crazy how many people.
I just think that was so classy from Sonny. I guess in the back of my head, I kind of suspected something like that would happen. But then also very cool, the note he left in all of their hotel rooms. If you haven't seen that yet, it's on his stationery. Welcome to Korea. I missed you, brothers. It is very meaningful that you came to my country. I know it's a busy schedule, but I hope we have a great time with good energy and great memories. And I want to take this opportunity to say thank you very much. I'm always happy to be with you in Tottenham, and I'm always proud of the goals we achieved together. Thank you always. Let's go for this season, something special, Sonny. I think Sonny is near and dear to all of our hearts as Tottenham supporters. And it was his birthday this week. He got to meet the team there. I think this was just a really cool setup and a very well done by the Spurs publicity and media team. So let's dive into the action a bit. Dustin, I'm going to hold off on your opinion on Clement Lenglet as we talked with Dan from the Barcelona pod. So Scott, I'd like to get your thoughts on bringing Clement Lenglet in here. Left center back, can play some center back as well, but a loan signing from Barcelona for the French borderline international.
Right. So I remember when he was – we were linked with him when he was at Sevilla. It may have been tenuous, but we were certainly linked. And I was more interested in it then. Obviously, he was kind of a hot property, hot commodity, obviously to end up at Barcelona. But I don't know. It's kind of a tough one, right? I mean, that club has been – until this season, at least, in disarray for quite some time. The squad is poorly constructed and aging. So to be a defender in a squad that wants to have the ball with very little midfield support, it's easy to be caught out. Like if you just got a geriatric Sergio Busquets in front of you and somebody loses the ball, well, guess what? I mean, you're going to get caught on the turn no matter who you're playing in Spain. So I don't know that it's fair to necessarily label him as a bust or whatever, some of the things that have been hurled at him recently. But I think that some of his weaknesses will be covered in our system with the three at the back instead of the two, or four, excuse me. Barcelona was primarily playing in a four, with fullbacks that are pushing up so aggressively. So it was basically a two. So I think that Conte will help him with his positioning and his awareness, and he'll have cover from Dier and the two holding midfielders that we typically play. So I think that'll help him quite a bit. I'm really less worried about some of his deficiencies because the system works. Sanchez looks decent as a defender. I don't know that Longley's worse a worse defender. Now he's slower. He's got different weaknesses. Sanchez is poor with the ball in the air and things like that. But I think Conte is good enough to realize the weaknesses and set these things up so that it will kind of minimize his weaknesses and maximize his strengths.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I think since Toby departed, we haven't really had a center back that could, you know, play that searching ball over the top. Dyer can do it occasionally, but I think that is Lenglet's specialty that we're going to see. Scott, interested to get your take. How do you see him and Ben Davis switching, splitting time, or, you know, kind of who wins the predominant role there?
Oh, man, that's tough. I have such a soft spot for Ben Davis.
We all do here.
I think that Davis will probably start the season just for the continuity's sake. He'll have to be displaced just for how well he played and how diligent he was in those roles and his underlapping runs, and he does everything that Conte wants for him to do. I think that it might make sense for Lenglet to play more against bunker teams where we'll have more of the ball. Right. Because he'll be able to play that switch to the right wing back. Now we need a right wing back that can actually take it down on their first touch and not have the touch of a donkey. That would be nice. So that, honestly, all jokes aside, I think making a right wing back signing will be very important for Lenglet, because that is the pass in his toolbox. So if there's no one over there that can receive it, I guess, you know, Kulusevski could, but he wants to tuck in. So I think that's going to be very important to get Spence or Kyle Walker-Peters. I don't know if you saw some of those stories today.
Oh, yeah.
Someone who has the technique to take that down. Now, Matt Doherty can do that. I don't know that Royale can. I don't want to get into that. But that's going to be important. So I think that's probably how it should go. Defensive sides, give me Lenglet. Teams that will have to sit back and kind of defend more, maybe Davies, at least off the beginning.
No, I like that a lot. Dustin, when we first interviewed Dan from the Barcelona pod, we were initially hearing like a 10 million euro buyout. There's no buyout option on this loan. There's no obligation. There's no, you know, option for it, whatever. This is just a straight loan. He's set to go back to Barcelona at the end of the season. How do you feel about that?
It's interesting because I think it was both of you in our chat said you both hate just straight up loans and that's it. It's interesting. I feel like Barcelona is leaving it open to where, like, if he does well, then we're going to, like, jack up your fee. But if he doesn't, then, you know, then you might not want him. So I feel like maybe that's Barcelona trying to get some more money out of the player. That, like, I feel like it's they don't want to happen to them what kind of happened to us with Juan Foyth. Okay. Where Juan Foyth played really well for Villarreal, to the point where it's like it was stupid for them not to pay the, what was it, 15 mil to take him on for? Yeah. And then he did well for him after that. He had a good season this year from what I remember. So it's strange. Like I said, we see so many, you know, we're used to Cudi Romero and Kulusevski and Gallini with the obligations, or you meet the requirements or one of those things. So it is interesting to not have it, but I think that's where it's going to be. I think they're kind of waiting to see how it works out. Maybe they can squeeze us for a few more pennies, but we know that Daniel Levy doesn't deal with right. that.
So I tweeted out when it broke and that there was no obligation or option, or when it, you know, before the deal even went through, but when Fabrizio Romano was pointing that out, that I was pretty concerned with that. And everyone said, oh, that just means we're going for Bastoni or Guardiola next summer. And I have a problem with that as well. I don't think in this current market of transfers, you wait a calendar year to bring in the guy that you want. I think that's a massive mistake. It's terrible business. And we're kind of seeing that right now, as, you know, Nathan Ake might be on his way to Chelsea. And if that happens, Guardiola or Bastoni could be going to Manchester City. So
I think Guardiola to Man City is like that would be almost kind of a, I don't want to say worst nightmare, but that's not a good scenario for us.
That's a lot, right? Though. He's going there. Yeah. It's just not what summer.
So, I mean, you know, we didn't pursue those guys tirelessly enough to the point where the deal would have gotten through. I think Guardiola would have been ridiculous to get through. That would have been a new club record. I think very much Bastoni wants to stay at Inter from what I'm seeing. I think he wants to stay in Italy, but you don't bring in a stopgap, you know, because the market just resets so quickly. And if you aren't, if you're looking at a guy as a stopgap, why not try to take that insurance policy of having a buyout option on him so you cap the market? And so I'm only going to pay 10 million instead of, like you said, with Juan Foyth. So if Lenglet comes in here and it really impresses, now we're going to have to pay, upwards of 30, 35 million to get him in on a full one. Scott, your thoughts on the no options?
Yeah, I got two things. So regarding the option, so I actually like this. If you just go with me there, I don't like it because I don't like straight loans. But the reason I like it is, just think of what was the most rational thing. Like, why would we take a loan with no option? Why would Spurs? We're not Arsenal. Why would we do that? Like, it's just not something that we do. So we would not have wanted that. Right. So just assume that we didn't want it. So why would we have taken this deal now in such a manner that we didn't want it? Because in my opinion, Conte wanted a player now. He liked Longley. He's like, all right, get the effing deal done. If option or no option, just get him in here. And Paratici's like, fine, I'll just get him in here then. This is not how we would normally do business, but you want the player, you want him now, you want him for preseason. So we're gonna break from our normal strategy and we're just gonna get him in here. If we have to buy him in a year for 30 million, we'll buy him in a year for 30 million. But we want the player in now. Get him in, get him training, and get him going with Conte immediately. I think
All right.
it's just like Bissouma, it's just like Perisic, it's just like Forster, it's just like everyone else. Get the business done early. So, is it exactly what we want? Probably not. Is it the player we wanted? No. Is it the deal we wanted? No. But do we need a player in that role? Absolutely. So I think it's doing something for Conte this season. And I think that this whole, the loan with no option because of next year, I think that's reporter BS. Like it's dot connecting. I don't think somebody at the club is like, well, you know what this means. We'll
Right.
go for Bastoni next summer. I guarantee you Paratici's calling someone involved with Bastoni every day still. Like that's not dead to me. Longley, like you said, he can play in the center. He can play on the left. So Bremer is still an option this summer. He's probably going to enter, but that is a central center back could still be purchased at Longley's on the left. Or he could play, Bastoni could still be an option this summer. If no one else goes out at Inter and they don't have the funds they need to generate it, and it's August 13th, well, guess who's still here and who's still got money and who could still use a left side center back and Longley sits in the middle? We are.
Right.
So I love this. Like, I don't care about the option because he's going to be 28 next summer. Like, whatever, we'll go buy somebody else.
That's fair. That's a good shout. So, we did have him in, and if you haven't already, go listen to that episode, the Clement Lenglet preview with the Barcelona pod. A lot of good insights from his time at Barcelona as well as Sevilla. But we also had two outgoings this week, and we'll start with probably one that drove or divided opinion most, Steven Bergvine. I'm wearing my Steven Bergvine kit today, just paying homage to him. But I like the kid. I think he's a fighter. He's a grafter. He went back to his boyhood club in Ajax, and Spurs were a little bit over 28 million euros, I believe. So got a little bit more than they actually paid for him. So that's good to see the balance sheet part of it play out. I think it's a
And
good move for club and player, though. I think he's going to do very well there. He looked very happy to be there in the first few training sessions. So I wish him all the best, and I hope Steven Bergvine does very well. Go ahead, Dustin.
don't forget, we wrote off like the last 2.5 mil of Davinson Sanchez.
Right. So
How do we still how are we still paying for Davinson Sanchez in 2024?
7 years down the line. That's Daniel Levy deferring those payments. So, Dustin, your thoughts on Stevie B's time here at Tottenham?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more of and not in a negative way, it's more of a what could have been. He started so high with the Man City goal. He actually, if you remember when we did the restart against Manchester United, he scored the opening goal of the restart, and that was a big, like, we
Smash.
desperately needed one. It was nice too. That was actually the game that I got my buddy Jacob to become a Spurs fan also. So that was a pretty big win for me, being a relatively new Spurs fan. I mean, how can we not talk about what happened with Leicester this year? I mean, I threw my phone across the car at pulling into Sam's Club when he scored. I saw that he scored, and I'm pretty, mild mannered when it comes to that stuff. I'm like, hey, there's no way.
I even think about that, the ball at St. James Park that he put on an absolute plate to gain
Yes.
in the middle. Like, that's one part of his game I felt we never really utilized his passing ability.
And then there's also it was in the League Cup this year against West Ham. He had a big performance this year. I think he had a goal and assist or one or the other, but still he had a really nice game. Like, it was just one of those things where I think Jose might have had a little bit more of a plan for him. I don't know if Conte quite ever figured out exactly where, because he talked about so much how he loved having him in the squad and what was the effort, and he saw him as maybe a secondary striker, and it just never really came to fruition, which, I mean, Harry Kane wants to play every game, and when you're – I want Harry Kane to want to play every game just because your best players in the world, they need to play it as much as possible. But, like, I just – it's more of like a what if. What could have been if we would actually got to be able to – you remember there's all that talk about maybe he's going to play right wing back for us. And he tracked back so well for us. Like, I think it's just a whole lot of what if.
I think also a big piece with Steven Bergwijn is he came in and he raised Lucas Moura's game. Lucas Moura really had to step his game up to get on the pitch, and he did. And we got a lot more out of Lucas in that time as well. Scott, what did you make of SB23's tenure at Spurs?
He is one of the few transfers that we've done in recent times that I really wanted the player before we were linked to him. You know, like, I knew he was good. I bought him on FIFA all the time, right? Like, it never happens. We never buy that player.
Right.
Well, we did, Bissouma, we did as well recently. But I was so excited when we signed him. And then he debuted, scored that goal against City on the half volley. And he fit Jose with what Jose wanted to do. And Nuno, because they're both terrified of possession. you know, the strange thing with Conte, and he's not wrong. I mean, I would have loved to see him play instead of Lucas on the right, but his style is very inside, and there was no width, which is weird because Kulusevski kind of does the same thing, but he's more withdrawn and a creator than he is a finisher. We can't have not all of your front three can be on the end of everything, because then who's making the pass? So there's an issue there, but you know, he's a great player. Wrong time, wrong manager, wrong other two in the front three. I mean, are you really going to pull Son for Bergwijn? You're going to sit Kane for Bergwijn? I mean, that's why the Richarlison signing was so important, because you will. Like, look at that guy over there. It's not Bergwijn. I love Bergwijn, but Richarlison is just different. So I love him, and I wish it had worked at a different time. Right player, right club, wrong time, wrong manager.
No, I hear all of that. And the other outgoing was Jack Clark to Sunderland. Could get up to $10 million. It's going to be low payments at first. We bought him for $9.9 million, so essentially getting the money back if all things go correctly. Same thing, I think Jack Clark was just never really given the opportunity. He did help Sunderland get back up to the championship. He did, you know, kind of really show his graft in the championship with Leeds, so hopefully he can reclaim his form and we can recoup all of that money. I know Dustin will say, just a reminder, he was that first signing after the stadium rebuild. He broke the drought, unfortunately just never really could crack in, and I think a lot of that had to do with players who came in ahead of him and who he was behind. So definitely wish Jack Clark all the luck as well. So Spurs are in South Korea now, and Conte came out and said, or it broke that Conte was going to be leaving unwanted players off of the preseason travel trip. So let's take a quick rundown. I'm going to read through the entire list, and we'll first talk about the notable omissions. Then I want to talk about a few guys who actually made the list and what that could potentially mean for them. So starting off, Hugo Lloris, Fraser Foster, Brandon Austin, Josh Keeley, Davinson Sanchez, Christian Romero, Eric Dyer, Jafet Tanganga, Malachi Fagan-Walcott, Ben Davis, Charlie Sayers, Matt Doherty, Emerson Royale, Rodrigo Bentancur, Yves Bissouma, Pape Matar Sarr, Pierre-Emile Højbjerg, Oliver Skip, Harvey White, Ryan Sessegnon, Ivan Perisic, Ryan Heal, Dejan Kulusevski, Richarlison, Harry Kane, Troy Parrott, Lucas Moura, and Heung-Min Son. So let's start with you, Dustin. Obviously, the three big omissions, Harry Winks, Giovanni Lo Celso, and Tanguy Ndombele. Any shock to you that none of those three were on it?
Probably maybe Giovanni Lo Celso, just because I think of – I mean, like nothing, no disrespect to Harry Winks, because, Matt, I know that you love him, and I love Harry Winks too. He's only scores bangers, like I say all the time. I feel like Winks was already kind of semi out the door. Like it's happening regardless of what actually comes down to it. Tanguy Ndombele, I mean, we were told what back in May that he was going to be put on a pitch by himself and said, train. So Giovanni Lo Celso was a little surprised. Actually, was the one you didn't mention. Sergio Reguilon was probably the one.
Oh,
surprised at Sergio Reguilon. But then I also look at, there's some Sergio Reguilon rumors heating up. And maybe it's one of those things where they don't want to keep him close so they can send him out if need be. But I'd still probably say Giovanni Lo Celso, just because, like I said, of all those players, I feel like he would have had the best chance to play and play back in those, especially because he can play that kind of attacking, I don't want to say creative attacking, but attacking midfield kind of position that we don't have. You know,
he can go box to box for sure.
Yeah. So that was probably the biggest surprise. At first, I freaked out about Joe Rodon not being on there, and then it was just, oh, he's sick. I'm like, okay, well, that happens. So.
Well, I actually had that noted. Do we believe that that's actually a Joe Rodon illness, or do we think
I do.
Yeah.
I mean, the protocols in South Korea are very strict. So, yeah. Like, the slightest hint of anything would have him at the airport hotel all week anyways.
Gotcha. So, all right. Fair.
If it's not JFK, I don't buy into conspiracy theories. So.
Yeah, but so what else do you make of this list, Dustin? Any other thoughts on it?
No, if we're going to, you know, talk about a name that I think a name that's going to really have to or should take this as a chance to really show himself is probably Troy Parrott. I guess the last time we went on a summer tour, which is when we were in Singapore, I think it was just in Singapore we went to, Troy Parrott had a pretty good showing against Juventus. I remember watching that game. That was the Harry Kane.
Scored yes, from half midway line. Yep.
Yes, and that goal is still. I wish I could get counted as one of his greatest goals ever because it is, but he can't. But it doesn't really count because it's like if he scored in a preseason match, did it really happen? But I think Troy Parrott's gonna be one of those ones that has to really show himself. Oh, I mentioned this in the group chat. I'm gonna butcher this name, but our guy from Estonia, Peskotsky. He wasn't on the list, and that really surprised me. And I've heard no mention of why he's staying or whatnot. So that one kind of because I know Matt, I think Matt, is it you that you said you think he has?
He had a very good preseason last summer.
Yeah, and he's got a lot. I mean, yes, it's Estonia. I know Estonia is not the European superpower that you know a lot of these other countries are, but still, like to have some of those caps and to play some of those. Like to play some big minutes for his country. He's got some legs under him in some important matches. So I was surprised that we haven't heard anything about why he's not in South Korea.
How about you, Scott? What are your thoughts on this list? The omissions or any inclusions that you might have, you know, crossed your mind?
Well, I thought that they might take Winks just because he's been here so long and more of an emotional thing. He's leaving, right? We all know that. And I absolutely love that they didn't. I want to be ruthless. Like I just no more, none of this. Like this needs to be a different summer. Like same thing with the Longley deal. Do we like the no option? No, but who cares? Like I want to be good this year. I don't care about next summer right now. I want to be good this year. And Winks is not playing this year. So who cares? Leave him at home. And I love Ndombele not being there. I love Reguilon not being there because now there's no like, ooh, let me play my way in or his agent, like shut up and go find a deal for your client. Cause he's not playing, like he'll rot. We really don't care. So that is all that is a message to the agent. Now, you know, you'll get some pushback. A friend of mine, Kyle's a Chelsea fan. He's familiar with Conte and he's like, well, you know, that's not always a good thing. Cause now the buying clubs know he's not in their plans. And I don't care. Sell him for 20 instead of 22. Like we have this 150 million for a reason. Part of it is to cover losses on players. Part of it is for wages and part of it is for outgoings or incomings, excuse me. So that doesn't bother me. Just now the agent for the player is going to be even more motivated. There's going to be no confusion about what your role is on this team. Your role is going to be on one of the other 13 pitches at Hotspur Way, not with the big boys. So now that's one more agent motivated to move that player. If that wasn't the case before, there is no uncertainty now. And I love that. I think that's important. That's exactly the kind of attitude that we need this summer.
Well, Tanguy Ndombele doesn't believe that because, yes, I think it's possible to be happy at Tottenham, he said in a recent interview. But I think the happiness might come from, like you said, Scott, playing on one of those other 13 pitches, but collecting his 210K a week or whatever it is.
So let me get to that. I want to touch on one thing. So the names I was happy to see, I'm happy to see Parrott. He's going to go on alone. I think he needs to, but I'm happy to see him.
Parrott could end up turning out like Kane, where he ends up going on 7-8
summer.
Loans.
I think next summer will be the big one for him. But to have him get him ingratiated with the squad, letting him have some time with Conte is good. I'm excited for Brian Hill.
That's the one that I was gonna ask
Papa
if it didn't
Mathisar.
come up. I'm really
Both of those
excited
two.
the little mustached Barnett guy is on there as well.
Yeah, him and Saar, I think, are the two that are the most interesting to me. I think Saar might, if he has a good preseason, might stay. We'll talk about that later, but
Yes.
that'll be interesting. Now, Ndombele, do you want to touch on his comments now? Do you want to pivot to that,
Go
or do you
for
have
it.
some more?
Go
Okay.
for it.
Listen, I don't know if you remember last time we talked, you were done with him, and I was not. Like, I was ready to keep giving, and I'm so over it now. Like, I'm sorry. And this quote made me so angry. Like, I do not care how happy you are. I understand, like, mental health and all these things. I'm very aware of that. Like, I'm not like shut up and dribble. I'm not that person. But for that to be his mindset is the issue. Like, that is the issue. That quote is the problem. And I know it's a snippet from a long interview, and you can nitpick things like this, but for the thing that matters to him to be his happiness, instead of, oh, I'm going to put my head down and work for the manager, or I want to run for this badge and fight for my place. Like, none of that. Well, I might be happy here. Like, what, eating like wontons on the bench? Like, what does that mean to you? I don't care if you're happy. I'm not happy watching us play you 200,000 pounds a week to do nothing. I don't
To
care how
suck
happy you
off
are.
versus Morecambe in the FA Cup, right?
Yeah, like, drove me, like, the lack of self-awareness is stunning. Stunning.
No, I agree with you. I've been done for a while, as you mentioned. I know. I think a lot of us kind of are out there as well. How about you, Dustin?
Yeah, and you know me, I probably give some people some longer leashes, but I mean, ship them off to Turkey, send them to Galatasaray or Lyon. Apparently, Lyon's interested in them.
No, I think they
Villarreal's
might be
interested.
done. I think they said we're good. After
Yeah,
that loan,
like
we're
there's,
good.
I just like right before we got on, I saw there was a thing, a couple different. I was like, really? They, it just like,
PSG's interested if they don't get
yeah, like who can sulk their way onto
Sanchez.
one of the most expensive, richest clubs in the world? It's like, could not, like, how do you fall forward like that? You turned. Oh, there's so many things I want to say here, but
That's a good play. That would be
I'm
a
not
good
going
spot.
to.
That would be a good
No,
spot for him.
and it
That
would,
league, no
and you know,
defending. You
was,
don't need to defend, so.
and I have a feeling what's gonna, he's gonna go to a farmers league and he's gonna do well, and everyone's gonna play the narrative, oh, Tottenham let their club sign and go away, and now he's killing it. I'm like, well, yeah, but you know what? He could have done a lot more to be that record signing that we needed him to be. I mean, if, you know, Matt and I being teachers, if you gave us a record deal like that, I feel like we'd both be out here grinding, like DJ Khaled would say. We're going to be grinding and trying to make show you why we were worth that much. And he just kind of, with, you know,
Got
hindsight's
very
2020,
complacent.
he just took it for granted. I mean, it's kind of like when WWE or WCW closed down and all the people said, I'll just sit on my couch and collect my check from AOL. I'm not going to go wrestle anymore.
I'm not worried about going to another league and turning into a superstar. I mean, if he was going to do that, it would have been at Lyon. Send him to a farmers league. He'll eat all the crops. I'm
That's
not worried
it.
about
They don't call it the Premier League for nothing, so if he
You want
can't
your
do it here,
I
yeah.
loved him, by the way. I want to make that clear. I was so excited. I was a
Yeah,
big
we all were.
fanboy.
We
Oh
all
yeah.
were.
This is I take no pleasure in this
He
opinion.
bossed Man City, and we're like, we play Man City a heck of a lot more than Leon does. Let's go.
And he had moments here. He did.
Yeah.
But this attitude is like, it's baffling. And you can see why Conte is not interested. Like, you read that quote, and that's all you need to see.
That's it. All right, let's put a pin in this chat and we'll take a short break. But after that break, we'll come back with the rumor roundup and we'll kind of give our takes on some of the other signings that have happened before we wrap this up. So we'll do that right after this. Welcome back to Tottenham Hotspur. We're going to jump into our rumor roundup segment with our resident transfer guru, Dustin Gentile. Dustin, take us around the carousel. What's the latest? What's the biggest? What's the greatest?
Well, I mean, like we kind of talked about it just a minute ago, I feel like the four names that were left behind, now that they're staying in London, everyone's now in South Korea. It just seemed like as soon as that was over, here's the list of people who are like Sergio Reguilon. Well, I mean, I guess we'll start with him. You know, there was right before they went to South Korea, I had seen a report that Barca was gauging interest, whatever that means in him. But then shortly after that, it's Sevilla is now interested in him, and they want him. And I'll kind of read you kind of the recap of what it says. Mentioned how Reguilon was with Sevilla on loan when they won the Europa League. They're close to selling their current left back to Aston Villa, and apparently Sergio Reguilon is the number one choice. for that manager, which is actually, you know, logically, it's a pretty airtight, you know, rumor right there. But I don't know what the fee is. I don't know what the thing or anything about it is. Apparently, Spurs are asking Villarreal like $40 million for GLC. I don't know if we're going to get $40 million out of that. Like I said, it'd be a good time to talk. Do we want to talk about that? Or are you guys just both like, no, it's not going to happen?
14? Yeah,
but here's my thought with that. I keep on, like, in a separate thing, but also related, they keep on talking about the name Pau Torres keeps popping up a little bit. How, you know, if we're going to talk about where that a lot of people are saying we're not done in the center back market yet, and Pau Torres keeps popping up. And it makes sense that if Giovanni Lo Celso is interested in going to, or Villarreal is interested in getting Giovanni Lo Celso, when we're interested in picking Pau Torres from Villarreal, couldn't there be a deal there?
Pau Torres makes me nervous. I don't know how you guys feel about him. I think he's the Brian Hill of center backs. Like, he's elegant and he's left footed and he's thin and he's like, he's very good on the ball. He's a good defender. He's not physical and he's not good in the air. Especially for his height. So I don't know that he's a Conte player, and I think that might be why there have been no real concrete links. Like, if last summer he rejected us, but I feel like if we went in for him with not Bastoni level money, but we could have gotten him by now, I think. Especially, like you said, Dustin, there is like, okay, you take $15 million off, we'll give you 25, deal done. Like, I felt like that would have been done. Feels like Conte, if Conte wanted that one, I don't think we would have seen Longley, because that's not a difficult deal to do with Torres.
I agree with you, and I think, you know, you mentioned he's not a Conte player. I don't think he's a Premier League defender. Like you said, he's too.
It strikes me as a signing Paratici would have made before Conte, just like Brian Hill. Like, I mean, Conte was honest about that in January. Like, we need to spend our money on players that'll suit this league. And Paratici was new to the Premier League too last summer. Like, mistakes happen. We wanted to get Lamela out the door. I still don't mind that deal. But Torres makes me nervous, very nervous.
I don't watch pretty much at all La Liga, just because I know they kind of play later. And we talked about with Dan from the Barcelona, probably we could take our, you know, midday siesta and watch La Liga. It's just it's never happened for me. Couple of other one of the things I thought was interesting and I wanted to get your guys' take on. Brian Hill has been linked in a couple of moves. Valencia is interested in him returning. He had a nice little spell there. But Real Sociedad also is interested in him. But then I was listening this morning to the Golden Guest podcast with Ali Gold and Robert Guest, and they both thought that if Brian Hill is going to go back to Spain, is there really, if on loan, does that say that there's really a future for him in England?
I don't think so. I think going back to Spain is he's gone out the door. I think if you want to play him in England, you want to look at a Premier League loan. I think Championship is too low as far as where he's at. He's very highly regarded too. He's you know, made his way into the Spanish national side, the senior squad. So he's an interesting one. I just, like, you know, like Scott said, I think stylistically he just doesn't fit the Premier League.
I think he could grow into it. You always hear people talk about David Silva with him, and I know that's like
ceiling
leaps. Yeah, I don't mean to say he is that player. I think he's that type of player. Like, if he makes it in the league, it's that's what it looks like. If he goes back to Spain, it's got to have an option or an obligation. Like, we can't keep doing this, right? Like, send him somewhere in England or sell him or loan him with an option or an obligation to buy, because what are we doing at this point?
Yeah, it makes me kind of, I think about someone like Papa Mara Sarr also. Like, I have a feeling he's probably, at some point this year, he might stay with Spurs for 6 months and then go out on loan in January, or he might go out on loan right before we play Southampton open the season. But I have a feeling if he goes on loan, it's going to be to a Premier League, maybe a Championship side, to get used to the English style of play. But if he was to go back to France, it'd be like, it feels like almost it's like a step in the wrong direction.
Right.
Like, we know how he could do with that in France.
That would be like an Ndombele training session, right?
Yeah. Like, I don't understand it either. I figured you guys, the one that, I'm going to say the word scared me on this, was when they started talking about a man near and dear to my heart by the name of Jafet Tanganga.
Yeah, and I want to hop in on this one. Yes. We ran a poll on our Twitter at Tottenham Pod about what do you think should kind of happen with Joff, and we gave the options of keep, sell, loan with a buy option, or loan with no option. The loan with no option had 48% of the votes, had over 200 votes, so, you know, pretty well-represented poll. But the next highest category, with just about a quarter, 24.3%, opted to sell Jaffa Tanganga, and that kind of surprised me coming from Spurs fans. I know, obviously, we can't say everyone that voted is a Tottenham fan, you know, just because it is Twitter, and it is toxic, but I would think that people wanted to keep Joff around. Homegrown kid, helps the quota. Why not?
I mean, you know me, I love me some Jaffa Tanganga. I think he, you know, Jose loved him, Jaffa Tanganga. Antonio Conte loves, everybody loves, Nuno loved Jaffa Tanganga. Everyone does. Scott, what's your, since, you know, I mean, you actually, last time you were on, we were going to talk about Jaffa Tanganga because he had a heck of a match against Man City.
What's the point in selling them? Like, look at the fees that have been rumored. 12 million euros. What's that? Covers half of Longley's loan and wages. Like, who cares? Or 2 years of it. You know, it's like, what for? What? We just got this war chest, right? Like, why? What do we need that 12 million for now? He's young. He's in a position.
He's only 23.
Right. He's in a position that peaks very late. Now, we have disagreed amongst us so far about what he could be. In this setup, I don't think he's a Conte center back at all, and he's definitely not a Conte wing back. So I think he's got a little bit of the Emerson Royale problem, where he like doesn't quite fit. He's a good player, but not a good player in the system. But I think he is kind of like Dele Alli for Jose Mourinho. Like, I think he will outlast Conte, like Dele outlasted Jose. You know, like, that's in a different shot. Way, obviously. But like, keep him here for 3 years. Now he's 26. You're playing a back four again, and he could play either one of the right sided positions, right back or right center back. So I don't think there's any value in trying to grab 12 million when we haven't spent half of the 150 yet, or generated any sales from players, Reguilon, Winks. I mean, between Reguilon and Winks, you're looking at what, 45, 50 million between the two. Yeah. Why get another 9 million pounds for a player with that kind of potential, like you said, Matt, that could take up a valuable homegrown role? And why would we sell him anywhere but England? Like, nobody's going to pay the price that an English club would pay for him. Why would we send him to Milan in any kind of personal or permanent deal?
I think that 12 million euros to Milan is more like, you know, closer to 30 million pounds in England, just because the English tax, as they call it, for the homegrown quota.
Yep. He's been very good for us.
And back in May, when I put my little spreadsheet that has evolved 17 times into different mutations and whatnot, I actually said back in May, I think next year Jaffa Tanganga was going to go on loan, and I put him in, and I said, you know what, a great place for him would be Bournemouth, who is also now apparently interested in a loan option, which I think would be, if we're going to send him somewhere, Bournemouth would be
Scott Parker's there, right?
Scotty Parker, yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And like, if he went to AC Milan on loan, that wouldn't, with just a straight up loan, that wouldn't be bad either, but I think he would. I think he's going to, if he wants to really impress some people who aren't so high on Jaffa Tanganga, coming out and doing well in the Premier League would be great. And the great part about it is he can't play against us when we play them. So he can't boss us. He can boss all the other 19 teams.
I wouldn't mind a loan to Milan. And just to make myself crystal clear for people who are like, well, why did you just said you hated loans to so there's a difference. We've seen him perform in this league. I'm not worried about that. Like, he's done well in the league. Like, honestly, what he picked up, was it a red card against Everton?
Mm-hmm. Crystal Palace.
Crystal Palace, that's right. It was the Zaha game. That's right. That kind of derailed him, and then he got injured, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, shortly.
But he was excellent up until that. Like, not just – he was very, very good. So we know he can do it in this league. Loan him wherever we'll play him. This year, next year, Conte will get tired of us eventually, bring him back, put him in the team.
I'm all for that. I like that.
Yeah, I do too. I had a great epiphany today with Jesse Lingard, which now I'm on the spot and I cannot think of what that epiphany was. I shouldn't have even said anything. I'm going to kind of wrap my stuff up with this. There is a name, and like, you're going to track with me on this here. So I saw a report today that we are linked with 18-year-old Oscar, and I don't know how to say this last name, so I'm going to take a shot in the dark. And it looks like Glock, Glouk. I think Glock is just a really fun way to say it. And he plays for Maccabi Tel Aviv, which I think he's already got caps for Israel. But I also thought it's like, we're going to Israel in the end of the month. He's 18. He doesn't even cost £1 million. I know we've got some, you know, attacking midfield options that we kind of already thinking about for the future, but I want to keep track on that name too. Like I could see like with us going to Israel and playing in Maccabee Tel Aviv Stadium, I could see something, you know, work out with all that. Like maybe that's something that could track. I could be way off, and when that happens, it'd be like, well, I'm really stupid. So
I thought the same thing was going to happen when we played MK Dons last season, and Delhi was going to make his great return after captaining the squad, and then we were going to leave him there. But you know, I definitely do. I do like that show, especially if we're going to play against him, see him firsthand. You know,
well, I guess we. Well, there's one more thing we probably should talk about, and that name is Kyle Walker-Peters.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to go there, because if not, I was going to say Dustin. You dropped a big one there. But before I know KWP will be a bit of a longer discussion. Another couple that I've heard. So the Spence deal is all due to Middlesbrough arguing over percentages. So, you know, a bonus for playing in Premier League matches, a bonus for playing in Champions League matches. So that seems to be the details. I still think that one gets done.
It gets done.
I hope that one gets done. The more I watch the kid, the more excited I get. Emerson, apparently Juve has called on him. So yeah, that could be an interesting one to keep an eye on. The Harry Winks saga, Leeds, Leicester, and Everton all potentially in. There was a tweet by some bonehead about how Spurs have been, you know, looking at Madison and we're going to steal Harry Winks. So if you think you're stealing Harry Winks, good for you. Good for you, Leicester City fans. Good for you. And then the other one, apparently Matt Doherty has been told he could look for an alternate team to leave. So that's an interesting one. I think that one will also hinge on Spence or Kyle Walker-Peters. So David Ornstein broke this one. So tier one, The Athletic, good source. Apparently Spurs have a £30 million buyback option for Kyle Walker-Peters. So Scott, let's start with you on this one. I think, like I kind of mentioned, this hinges on, you know, Spence not getting done. I think it's not KWP and Spence. It's one or the other. Decent enough backup option. I don't know. For me, it's probably a no. I'd rather see them go Spence. If not, I'd ride it out with Royale and Doherty. But I know this one's kind of popping up on people's radar right now.
Well, I prefer Spence. I do. If nobody's watched him play, please do.
Man, he's a
only
man.
Because he is massive. Like he, I remember the first time I watched him play, I was like, "Are they playing a center back at wing back?" And I'm like, "Oh, that's Spence. Like Jesus, he's a freaking unit. He's huge, and his athleticism is great. He looks like an NFL player or NBA player. Like he's just an athlete." And he's, you know, he's very much what Conte wants as far as dribbles down the wing. He progresses the ball. He's got a good touch on him. He could do better in the final third, but that's, you know, you're at a certain age. You're not surrounded by necessarily the kind of talent that you could be. But obviously, Spence is the preference. Middlesbrough appears to be playing around with us, like you said. And I would have liked him, if that deal was going to be done, I thought it should have been done by Friday, get him on that plane because he needs to spend as much time with Conte as possible. So I'm starting to get nervous about that one. I've been saying it gets done too, but like every day that goes by makes me less and less confident. With that said, if that doesn't get done, I would rather sell Emerson and bring in Walker-Peters myself. I worry, you know, we talk about, you know, we got to have a center midfielder that's a creator and creative, and we needed Eriksen for that reason, but Conte doesn't want that. Conte wants the system is generated from the wings and the front three tucking in. So if you have a right wing back that cannot create or hit an actual cross that might scare someone on the other team, there's no point. Like, what is Emerson doing for us? Now, he did play well toward the end of the season. I loved him, dropped the comp. Like, I was all in on that. Like, I love him, and if he stays, it'll be fine. But Walker-Peters out is better dribbler, better crosser. He's not as good of a defender, but that's not the need. You guys remember Victor Moses was a good wing back for Conte. Like, true. Kyle Walker-Peters is a wing back. He is not a fullback. So I think that would be a spot for him. I think $30 million is steep. It's not outrageous considering he's also homegrown.
Going back to what we talked about, it's the English tax as well.
Right. So I don't think – I would rather have Doherty and Walker-Peters than Emerson and Walker-Peters because I feel like we're governing our ability to attack if we don't have somebody who can actually do it over there.
No, fair point. Dustin, what's your take? Would you take KWP back?
I'm with you guys on the if it means no Jed Spence, I think I'd rather have Jed Spence. But I kind of like what Scott said about having him maybe above Emerson Royale. That's an interesting one. I hadn't really thought about that possibility.
When you think about it, it's basically you sell Emerson for 20, you spend 30 on Walker Peters.
Yeah.
You know, you get Pierre Hoiberg. You have Hoiberg still. You get Walker Peters back, and you ship out Emerson for $10 million difference. I mean, that's not a bad deal.
I thought about that earlier today. I'm like, you know, that's a crazy little math equation right there. So I think that's neat. I think about some of the other names I've right wing backs I've heard us, you know, vaguely linked to. You know, there was Philip Kostic from Eintracht Frankfurt, who was a name we heard a little bit. There was Jonathan Klaus from Racing Club Linz we'd heard. There was Wilfred Tsengo from Torino. And all of those guys are going to all fetch probably around a similar price on that. So if it's go out for one of these international guys for about the same price as KWP or get KWP, you know, we have to talk about that that homegrown quota. So I think, you know, it makes sense with that. I feel like there's a good chance our new right wing back from this summer is going to be English. Is it just a matter of do we finally get Spence over the line or do we make the return for Kyle Walker-Peters? I told you guys, I thought Kyle Walker-Peters didn't get his fair. He had some really good – like there was – he was man of the match opening week of the 2018. It was the Champions League final season. And then like 2 weeks later – that was he wasn't on the he wasn't even he didn't make a squad. So some of that stuff is just interesting. I think there's a chance that he comes back. But Matt, you sent us some stats like only four assists in two seasons in the Premier League, and I think he's only got one Premier League goal in two seasons.
Didn't he have two assists in one match for us against Newcastle?
That's what I was talking about against Newcastle to start the season.
The stats that I sent you were from his Southampton.
Southampton, yes. I didn't specify that. That's my bad.
You know, if you look, and it was interesting. I've seen several Twitter accounts that are attempting to identify wingback targets, and his name always pops up. You know, if you're looking at progressive carries or dribbles completed or all of these things that you would profile a wingback, he's always, if it's one of those quadrants, right, he's always in the top right. His name's always there. I'm like, damn, Kyle Walker-Peters, that'd be nice to still have him. I never thought that it would be an option, but he does the things that you want a wingback to do, and we don't have one of those. Like, Doherty does different things, which are also helpful and nice, but the width generation is not there with either one of the ones that we've got, so... We could do worse.
I think the biggest thing, too, will be to see, you know, especially with Doherty apparently being told he could look for another club and see how he bounces back from that knee injury. 30 years old, knee injury. We know how that feels. I just got out of my walking boot. So, you know, injuries tend to linger a little longer as we get a little bit older. But before we wrap this one up, and we'll keep track of all those rumors, follow Dustin on Twitter at AceGentile25. He's got this awesome spreadsheet, so he'll share some facts with you. I want to get your thoughts on your favorite signing so far of this window for Tottenham Hotspur and the best for the squad. So two-part question. Feel free to start with the favorite. And we'll start with you on this one, Dustin. Who was your favorite signing of this window so far?
I think my favorite signing is Ivan Perisic, just because I think it was a good one to start off with. And we'd say, hey, we're going for it. We're doing some things different. I think the best player, like the best one to fit for our squad, is Yves Bissouma, because we needed that. I think he brings a really nice, like I've said before, the four center midfielders we have are very, all do some different things. And I think you can kind of play just about any combination with, like, we're strong. Like, if we're going to play two in the Premier League on Saturday against Manchester City, and then the next week we've got a big Champions League match against Ajax, because I know they're in pot one, I'll just pick Ajax out. I don't have an issue with playing Bentancur and, was sitting Bentancur and PEH against Manchester City, but knowing that Yves Bissouma and Ollie Skip will be the ones going, like, it's not really a downgrade. That's just a, hey, we're just trying to make the most efficient moves for
rotation.
Yeah.
How about you, Scott?
I have the same two players, but they're flipped. I have, ever since I saw Bissouma for Brighton, I wanted us to sign him. And like I said, with the Bergwijn, that never happens to me. Like, the player I want, we never sign them. So that I was so – like, this one also came out of nowhere. I mean, there was some stuff but it was like hours ahead of the signing, not days and days like this drawn out saga. So I was very excited, especially now that the court case is cleared up and there's no yeah buts with him. He is, in my opinion, the best player outside the top six in the league, and we signed him. So, and I've wanted him for years, and he's like Dustin, like you said, he's a perfect fit. We could play any two of those four together, three of them if we wanted to. One of them, I mean, Basuma could play by himself in some of these matches. So he is very exciting, and I think his ceiling is incredibly high. The things that he needs to develop, Conte can do for him. And if you look at the progress he's made under Potter at Brighton, he's gotten better every year already. So it's not like he's some type of plateaued talent. He's grown in his touch and his vision and his passing and his positional awareness is so much better than it was. So he's like a sponge for coaching. So I'm very excited by that. As far as fit for the squad, it's Perisic for me, because we need, like I've been talking about regularly for the past few minutes, is width, pace, dribbling, crossing, chance creation from the wing. He's in the 97th and 99th percentile in anything that matters. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's who I mean. Perisic is that. He's perfect for all. Like exactly. If you look at the FB ref stats for Perisic, he's in the 95th to 99th percentile in every attacking creation stat for a wingback. So you take that out. Take that. Like, Sessegnon needs a mentor. Who better?
Scott, you just made my heart happy referencing FB reference.
I love FB reference. I mean, Sessegnon needs a mentor systematically, work-wise. Like, how do you take care of yourself? He's 33, and he, if I'm not mistaken, he tracked the highest speed in Serie A for a defender at 33 last year. So he's a mentor for Sessegnon. He can play in the attacking three. He could play right wing back if he needed to. He could play number nine if he needed to. And he's got the winning mentality. He scored in a World Cup final. He's won Serie A. He's won the Champions League. He's won the Bundesliga. So mentality, mentorship, talent, and fit is perfect.
I like
and he's
that
played
a lot.
For Conte. So, like, right. What yeah. more could you want fit-wise in the squad? It's perfect. And he was free. Like, even Levy loves him. It's literally the perfect signing.
I do like that.
He went on record too to said, "Oh, when Spurs beat Arsenal in the North London Derby, that I knew at that point I was going. I was like, oh, I love this guy."
Yeah. All right, so my, I love a good Arsenal my favorite, thrash. My favorite. I'm with Scott. It is Yves Bissouma. I think Scott hit it on nail on the head. He was the best player outside the Big Six last year. Another guy who hates Arsenal left him off the pitch. So I think that was always in the making. I think he's just really fun to watch, and he produces. So. That does it for me. Most important, I'm going Richarlison. You know, we've talked about that second striker for years, and we not only got him, but we got a guy who can play across the top three. So bringing in that versatile player, which I know we spent a lot of time talking about, I think Richarlison is also, like Harry Kane, going to play a lot of minutes at the World Cup. So it's good to have, you know, another guy there to bring you some fresh legs afterwards and be able to rotate and, you know, sustain the season and sustain the four competitions. And if Spurs win the quad, I'm buying a Conte 69 jersey because Antonio Conte fucks. You heard it first live here on Podspur.
Matt, you said you were going to buy a home kit. I actually want you to buy the away kit. And
Nope. That looks
is,
like
is a, the away kit the one with the yellow, like weird yellow?
The purple. Yeah,
purple with that yellow patch. Looks like bike racing top.
Yeah.
Did they call it wild? Did I see it on footy headlines? It's called like Wild Berry. Which makes me think of Pop-Tarts.
That's even lamer.
I know.
All right. Matt,
can I tell you something that will make you excited that didn't really get my rumor thing?
Yes.
So when I was listening to Golden Guest, and they were talking about how with the sale of Bergvine, they're asking, do we really need to get a like-for-like add-in to replace him? And they said, no, I think this just means we're probably going to end up going for like an actual legit striker, center forward kind of option to round out the attack. I'm like, oh, that'll make Matt happy. Because I know there's some names.
Target man.
Sasa Kalajic is still there. Although Wout Weghorst is not available.
No, he is not. He is in Turkey. Maybe Tanguy Ndombele will be providing him service, you know, in the Turkish bathhouse soon enough. But we'll have to see about that. Scott, what do you got for final thoughts for us before we sign off?
I don't know if you guys saw the video. Arsenal tweeted out a goal from Gabby Jesus in one of the preseason friendlies. Did you see that?
Yep.
Yes.
And they had the score line blurred like it was porn or something. Like they must have been losing to whoever. It was like
they were. Young. They were down like 3-2
to Nuremberg.
Who was it?
Nuremberg, a second tier German team.
Like just imagine the state of your club. That's like not only that you have to post that video, But did you have to blur the score line?
Did you see what the score was, though? Like, but like during the normal time, it was the Champions League font, like the style. It's like, this is so sad.
Oh, man. For what it's worth, my Scottish side, Hibernian, did beat Arsenal in the preseason last summer. So, they do have a habit of losing to those type of teams. But thank you for bringing that to us. If you haven't, go check that out. It is totally worth it. I'll probably retweet it so we can get that out there as well. Dustin, how about you? Final thoughts, my man.
Well, I'm going to kind of piggyback on Scott here for a second because I have a friend of mine who will remain unnamed who is an Arsenal fan who, when Gabriel Jesus scored, he said the praise the Lord hand gif, and he was like, scored two today. I'm like, and you had to get 2-1 goals to beat a second-tier German team. I didn't say that out loud, but because he's gotten on to me, but I was picking at him, I still want to, but I'm going to be a nice friend to this guy. I'll say this. Wednesday, I have like my first legit school thing of the, or I guess now second legit school thing of the year I have to attend, but it's going to be okay because I'm going to be able to wake up on Wednesday morning really bright and early and watch our beloved Tottenham Hotspur play a legit, well, semi-legit match. So I'm ecstatic that next week when we get together to talk about Spurs, we will actually get to talk about legit games and not just rumor and innuendo. Although it's come out that I am the lover of rumor and innuendo when it comes to the summer in the group. So
Dustin is the Lord Varys of Tottenham Hotspur. He's the master of whispers.
Oh gosh. Spider.
I'll have to put that bootleg Photoshop on an episode cover.
I just walked my way into the Chubby Fryer gift.
Well, I just want to say, we all alluded to it. It's a very exciting time. We still have about 2 months left, and I don't think we're done, as everyone has been reporting. So I think there's a lot of good stuff still to come. And like Dustin mentioned, I'm just excited to see the boys on the pitch and, attacking. And I think we're going to see a very high-flying offense this season. And, that's what I'm here for. There was the clip in the 202 days where Daniel Levy said to Antonio Conte, there's a style we like to play. And, Conte kind of nodded, but I think the squad that we're building suits that style very well. I think we're going to be very reminiscent of the Danny Rose, Kyle Walker days with what we're putting together. And I think that's going to be just so easy on the eye and, a much welcome and more refreshing take of the style of football that we've watched over the last two or three seasons. So very excited for this to get started. Very excited that Podspur is back in action. Thanks to the guys for joining us. And, we've got a pretty good squad building up at Podspur too. So we're excited to be coming out every Sunday or every weekend back at you with the occasional bonus episode. So be on the lookout for that. But that about wraps things up for this episode. Thanks for coming back home to Podspur. We appreciate your support. Again, if you're not already, check out all the accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Follow each of the guys and check out our blog and website at podspur.com. And just a reminder, you can get quick access to all of those links in one neat location by clicking the link tree in this episode description. One more thing before we sign off, we actually also kind of revamped a WhatsApp group. We have Podspur Nation. So if you listen to this and you kind of want to talk with us, interact with us, and kind of hear some behind the scenes shit, send us a DM on Twitter or email or whatever. Just get in touch with us. We'll get you the link. We'll add.
Did you put it in the link tree?
I did not because I wanted to filter so we're not getting some asshole fans.
Good point.
I just didn't want randoms coming in. If you are interested in joining the chat, just send any one of us. We can get you in there. Podspur Nation's been pretty active this weekend. It's been pretty fun. It's all U.S. Spurs supporters in it right now, which was what we were kind of striving for and connecting Spurs fans in the U.S. So give us a shout if you'd like to get in that. So if you enjoyed this show, also please leave us a rating and review on whichever podcast platform you listen to. 5 stars goes a long way to helping fellow Spurs supporters find the show. Thanks again for tuning in. I'm your host, Matt, for Scott and Dustin. We'll see you next time. And as always, come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.